Welcome to your brand new episode of the ZT Podcast, where three friends gather around and just wish they were somewhere else, to be perfectly honest. As always, I am your childhood and superheroes body, Zach, and join with me is the king of the seas,
Zach,
and the king bro. Of all monsters,
Steven.
Oh, I was hoping you would just do a Godzilla screech.
And the place where we all want to be is San Diego Comic-Con, which is really cool, and it's happening, and there's still news developing, but we are recording on a Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Imagine all the big things happen by this point.
Yeah. Because the con technically starts, like, on Thursday, but they announce things on Wednesday, and then it's supposed to end on Sunday, but, you know, just whatever.
Things still trickle out.
Yeah.
It's just a giant clusterfuck of an event every year.
One of the people I follow on Instagram, or one of my mutual people, he has been going to SDCC since he was like in high school, and he was like, it's changed so much, and it's like, I fought to get into Hall H.
Oh god.
Well, not literally fight, but he was like, he spent hours in a line.
Yeah, like people line up hours before. Do they still do the thing where, like, even if you well, you don't have to clear out Hall H, or did they finally change that rule?
I don't know, but I know you are able to line up at night, and then they give you a ticket saying you're allowed in.
Right. I remember, like, for a while, people would just line up for panels they don't care about just to eventually get into the one they care about, and then just stay there. It's like, that is too much.
Like, as much fun as I imagine SDCC to be, it seems like the most exhausting event there is, and I'm glad I could just stay home and wait for everything to surface up on YouTube.
Yeah, that's like the one event I'm probably okay passing on, just because it just seems like it's pure chaos every year.
Yeah,
because they refuse to move it to anywhere where they, you know, could have more space.
Well, they officially rebranded to Comic-Con International, so, I mean, they could finally
They've been
move.
Trying to move it to Vegas for years because that convention center is, like, twice the size, but San Diego won't let them leave.
It's terrible.
It's like, no, we want you here because of all the money you bring.
Yeah. They actually, there is a burger place outside of the convention center that they turned into Bob's Burgers.
Did they really?
Like, literal one-for-one. Had the same menu, had the employees dress up as characters.
There was
fantastic.
I don't know if it was an actual convention center, but they took a bar and turned it into Ernie's.
Yeah, saw that one too.
Nice.
It's a lot of cool things. So
it's just where a nerd can be a nerd.
There's a
like
lot. We're gonna lightning round a lot of the stuff.
I wanna go up.
And
Toys R Us is gone now.
If you want us to talk more in depth about some of the stuff, like I said, we're gonna glance over some things. Just leave a comment. And we can.
Make a comment. I'll be like, hey, I'd like you guys to talk more about blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So the first things first, 343 says they have no plans for a Halo Battle Royale game. Good.
Yeah.
All right, so
here's what's kind of interesting, I think, is that all these companies that, or everybody was like speculating, I was like, oh, this year's just going to be the year of Battle Royales everywhere. And now more companies are like, nah, Fortnite, you can go do your own thing. We'll be cool over here.
Well, the only game that announced a Battle Royale was Battlefield.
But I guess I could see where everyone...
And Call of Duty.
We don't... If we're talking about real games, Zach, I just pissed off someone. I'm so excited.
Like, I can see where people would be concerned about, just because, again, it's the success that Fortnite and PUBG and even higher res with Realm Royale to a degree have experienced... with these battle royales, I can see where concern of like maybe someone in the company's like, I see a big old stack of money. How about Halo Battle Royale? It's like, no.
Well, Frank O'Connor said he's not there as a team. Sorry for interrupting. That they're not actively working on it, but he doesn't object to it at all. So like, it could just be a game mode. Who knows?
Could be. They might experiment with that. Yeah, like a weekly. It's like, hey, here's a Battle Royale style game mode.
Yeah, it's like when we were playing GTA, where they had
their version of it.
Yeah, there's two different versions on GTA Online. There's the one we all played called Floors, where you die and you spawn in the red area, and if you don't get out in time, you die. And then there's also one where you do literally parachute into the middle of Los Santos and go dick around. But, I mean, I feel like Battle Royale as a genre is starting to die, but with the success of Fortnite,
it's definitely not dying. I think that
it's a very niche market.
I think people aren't trying to like try to squeeze their way in, because it's like you have to do something radically different at this point to make it stand out.
Yeah. Did you ever see a Cuisine Royale?
No.
Yeah. So you drop in naked. So it's kind of like PUBG, okay, where you drop in just your underwear, and everything you collect, like armor and all of that, is just cookware, like pans, pots, all of that. You still get weapons.
It's actually kind of funny.
But it's like you get like a chess piece, and it's just like five cast iron skillets together to make a chess piece. And
the funny thing is it was the developers actually making like an April Fool's Day joke, and then people kept clamoring for it.
This is great.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, I guess we're releasing it as a game now, and people are like, yes, good, I want waffle irons on my butt.
Do it. So. Or as Zach would say, do it, you cowards. Which, let it be known, in one of these topics, we did get a do it, you cowards.
Yes.
I said that out in public on my trip. There was someone, I can't remember, what was it? Someone's like, no, I'm not gonna do this. And I was like, do it, you coward.
Wow, that's really aggressive. Yeah,
I don't think they heard me, though.
I was gonna say, if you said that to their face, I'm like, how did you live with that embarrassment? It's like when my principal asked me, he's like, hey, do you want to be part of the interview committee? And I panicked and I screenshot it and tried to send it to Kayla, but I sent it back to my principal.
It's like, you want to try again, champ?
I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow.
She told other teachers too, like when I came day, and the fifth grade team is all laughing at me. It's like, that's the most you thing that you could have ever done. I'm like, I know, I'm mortified. So yeah, I mean, we're still so far out from Halo. Like,
nobody knows when that comes out.
It feels like it's been longer since a Halo game came out, but the longest release was only 2 years.
We're at Halo games. Four?
No,
we're at two.
No, yeah,
we're at 2016. Yeah. Was Halo 5.
Halo 5 count when I was living in my apartment.
Which it does feel longer. Yeah,
it really does.
But it begs the question, does it somehow come out like next year? Or are they waiting for whatever this next-gen console is as a launch title?
I don't think they're going to wait for next-gen. I think just because they've already put it out there and didn't, like...
I don't know. Because,
like, Elder Scrolls, they made a point to say it's coming probably for the next-gen.
Right.
Like, they didn't...
But Xbox is already saying that their next-gen is probably 2020. That's only a year and a half out.
Yeah, Halo 7. I don't know. I think the one big release that people are waiting for is... either Reach or Halo 4 to be added to Master Chief Collection, just to give that game a little more life.
I would play Reach again.
Yeah, it was like hey, we finally fixed the game, and here's a little extra content.
Yeah, and I heard Master Chief Collection runs fine now, and I've been really hardcore hankering to play Halo again. Just, I might pop in Halo 5 later or play some Master Chief.
Sure. Continue it on the list. We have a long way to go.
Way, the producers of Power Rangers Legacy Wars and Lionsgate Interactive.
You deleted a letter.
Oh,
it's N-Way.
My bad.
N was there for a reason, Zachary.
Okay. They've developing an interactive... shit, god damn it, Steven. They're releasing Power Rangers Street Fighter live action short, starring Jason David Frank and Ryu and a Yellow Ranger and Chun-Li.
Yeah, Chia from Megaforce/Super Megaforce.
Okay.
Who, it actually looks like they let her act instead of doing the cookie cutter. We're Nickelodeon Power Rangers. This is our acting. No, just stop.
Yeah, so M. Bison has invaded the world because of Shattered Grid. And they need some extra help. So Tommy Oliver gave Ryu the Falcon coin, and he is now known in the game as the Ryu Ranger. And then they're doing a short this fall with it.
Is Hadouken, like, call a Falcon now?
He has a Falcon Hadouken, the Taka Hadouken, that he shoots, it hits, and then turns into a Falcon and flies into the air.
God, isn't Taka a hawk?
Yeah.
Hawk. Hawk Falcon.
Okay. But anyways, yeah, so that's cool.
Sure, why not?
Well, it's like, for the 20th anniversary of Power Rangers, they did Super Mega Force, which sucked.
It was garbage.
And it's
that
like,
was with every single Power Ranger, right?
That was just the final battle. But they're like, every single Power Ranger, but only 8 of them are unmasked.
Because we sent out a letter and only 8 people said yes because we sent out a generic kind of show up if you want to letter and
pay your own fees to come out, but we'll pay you, and it just wasn't justified.
Yeah.
Or it's like, and again, some of the legacy episodes could have been cool because they're like, look, it's the legacy ranger teaching them how to do cool things, but they never morphed. They're just there. It's like, yes, let me teach you how to release your inner animal. And it's just...
Don't hate on Casey.
I love Casey. That was a cool thing. But it's like, wow, I'm a snake. And I'm like, I fucking hate you, Nickelodeon.
I have the spirit of the phoenix. It's like, I get it. You have the snake sword and the phoenix sword. Ooh.
Ninja Steel did do better, though.
Ninja Steel is so much better.
Yeah. And people are speculating for the 20th.
Isn't Ninja Steel the bad one, too?
No. No, Samurai's the bad one.
Ah,
Samurai was the
other Japanese appropriation.
Well, no.
Is it appropriation if the company is Japanese making it?
And they also deliberately made it super Japanese as a fuck you to Toei. Toei said, we want something that's a little more like Americanized and less Japanese. Like,
all right.
Samurais with kanji on their faces.
And actually, what's really unfortunate is because I ended up watching like the Japanese Sentai version of Samurai. And the script is almost the same. The acting's just shit.
It was the first Nickelodeon season. They were terrible.
But boy, howdy, Ninja Steel is great. Even though that's still super cheesy. Anyways, moving forward.
It'll be a long episode, folks.
Power Rangers. New Spider-Man game trailer. We get to see MJ and
voiced
see
by her Laura as a playable Bailey.
Character. So that's really cool. We still don't know who the next person, the sinister sixth member of the team.
I'm excited.
I was pretty shocked. Like, Peter is in his Spider-Man outfit, mask off, and Norman Osborn just rolls up. Peter Parker! But that's the thing.
I think that might have been two separate scenes.
It could have been.
Because you see Peter like walking like, battle damage. And the next time they show him talking to Norman, he's in like a lab coat and just normal clothes. So I think it's just like
it's just weird cleverly editing, cut.
Where it was like, Spider-Man's injured in his costume. Peter Parker, you son of a bitch. Like,
son of a gun.
Son of a bitch. I'm going son of a bitch. I don't care.
It's just like, all right, we're friends with Goblin in this universe. Neat. But it shows that in the game, not only do you play Peter and then you get these different Spider-Man suits that have different abilities, but you do get to keep the white one with all the abilities. But you get to play as MJ, and Miles is officially a part of the team, but doesn't know who Peter is. So it's pretty neat.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Also, I just need Laura Bailey to say "face it, tiger" just once, and the game will be complete.
Zach's ringtone. Face it, tiger. Zach, you okay? Face it, tiger.
It's Laura Bailey.
Yeah. All right. Next up, 8 new Robin Hood films.
Why?
Are these in continuity with one another, or are they just
eight Robin Hood films? They're 8 different Robin Hood films by 8 different people because Robin Hood is so old, it's public domain at this point.
Oh, dude, futuristic Robin Hood set in dystopia London?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Pop-punk Robin Hood?
Cyberpunk Robin Hood?
Mission Impossible-esque Robin Hood. And then Disney's Nottingham and Hood.
The Robin Hood cinematic universe.
And then DreamWorks' Merry Man, an untitled project from Warner Brothers.
Oh, please do a sequel to Robin Hood Men in Tights. So, just make it a musical. Do it, you cowards.
We have the futuristic one that doesn't have, they haven't put a studio to it yet. The pop-punk one doesn't have studio. Sony, Disney, DreamWorks, and Warner Brothers. So clearly, people are like, oh, Robin Hood's public domain now? Everybody make a movie.
Because we can't come up with anything else.
Don't we have to wait, like, a few more years and then, like, another huge slathering of things become public domain? Like, people are like, yeah, everything from the 20s becomes public domain. That means we get all of these films. And I'm like, but do we really need
that? No, leave them alone.
Like, a couple of them sound interesting. Like, a Mission Impossible Robin Hood, a futuristic Robin Hood.
Like, does he have hand crossbows or something?
I don't know about like a laser crossbow or laser bow and arrow.
But pop,
but I don't know about pop punk Robin Hood. Like
that one has to be the musical.
Like, is it just gonna be like Robin Hood in like a jean jacket with spikes on it?
Well, no, it's gonna be Robin Hood played by Billy Joel Armstrong featuring Green Day.
21 bows.
I can't even imagine the thing I said. I'm so not necessarily distraught by this news.
More confused.
But, like, you know, I like Robin Hood as much as the next guy, but not this much.
Like, I'm probably going to go see the new one coming out, the Taron Egerton one, because I want to see Eggsy as Robin Hood and Jamie Foxx
drifting a carriage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, come on.
Why not?
But at the same time, I don't know if we need 8 new ones in the next couple of years.
No. I just can't. I literally can't. God.
So can't next... wait for 2 of them to somehow come out at the same time. It's like, oh, did you see Robin Hood? Yeah. And then you just start talking about your plots.
It's like, yeah, man, dystopian future. Like,
what?
No.
What movie did you watch?
God. Then they went on the heist. It's like, now you're talking about the Mission Impossible one. Mm-hmm.
No, no, no. They also did that on this dystopian one.
Shit.
They needed to free everyone that was trapped in the computers. It was a really weird turn for Matrix 4 to just be Robin Hood the movie.
Robin
Do you think, like, Little John will be like a robot? Let us go, Robin Hood.
When you said Little John, I was thinking of...
Yeah! Okay! All right, so now Pop Punk.
Oh my God,
one.
He's auto.
Pop Punk one. He's we need Lil Jon.
He's auto tuned the whole time. The futuristic one.
The Pop Punk.
Oh,
one.
Oh, he's like the character from Saints Row 4.
Yeah.
He's only an auto tune the entire game.
I think the Pop Punk one. We need to make a change and have Lil Jon played by Lil Jon.
Get crunk.
We have an idea.
Get low. Thanks, Lil Jon.
Speaking of getting low, we got our first trailer for Dragon Ball Super Broly. Broly's officially canon. And
male
he looks
Kale.
Way different. Yeah, he's now officially male Kale because Kale,
Kale
came
was,
first.
Kale
in
was technically canon first.
The timeline, officially.
Okay.
But it's like, it's weird. Like, the one character of, like, fan fascination. Like, Broly is probably the Boba Fett of the Dragon Ball fandom.
Like, when you really break it down, like, Team 4 Star really opened my eyes. Like, I loved, like, oh, I love Broly more than anything. He's the best Dragon Ball character ever.
Hi.
And it's like, wait. No, he's a giant baby.
Hi. Your power level's really high.
He got mad at Goku. The name Kakarot, because when they were babies, Goku cried a lot. And it made him sad. So now every time he hears Kakarot, which when he was a baby, he wouldn't understand Kakarot. Unless someone like, yeah, you know that crying baby that made you upset when you were a baby?
Him.
His name's Kakarot. That's your trigger word.
Well, I was going to say, it's kind of like Pavlovian dog training. Like, you know,
Pavlovian
dogs salivate Broly. When they hear a bag crinkle.
Or a bell ring.
Yeah. But it's like, you're Kakarot, you just become instantly pissed
off.
Yeah,
you become a berserking machine of death. And all you want to do is kill the thing that cried when they were babies.
Yeah. A lot of people were worried just because it was like, yep, Dragon Ball Super's ending. But we're going to do a movie and then another series. But people forgot the latter half of that statement. Yeah.
But I'm excited they're making Broly canon, changing his story to where he's just a fucking badass and probably genetically mutated and not a crybaby.
Yeah. All right. Other movies. Netflix, coming out of SDCC, and this article is coming from Polygon, has announced the first 5 series/films that are going to be introduced into the Miller world of Netflix. So the first 2 movies are going to be
two shows
are Jupiter's Legacy, which is a fucking awesome comic.
I'm gonna go ahead and edit that because it's not Frank Miller's Miller world.
It's Mark Miller.
Yeah, Mark Millar.
Yeah. Millar. I got Frank from
it's the other guy that works at DC. Yeah. Jupiter's Legacy, a multi-generational American superhero epic, follows the world's first generation superheroes who received their powers in the 1930s. In present day, they are revered elder guard, but their superpowered children struggle to live up to the legendary feats of their parents. Stephen S. DeKnight, who directed Daredevil, Spartacus, and Buffy, recently signed on to an overall deal with Netflix and will serve as the showrunner and executive producer, with Lorenzo Di Bonaventura and Dan McDermott also serving as executive producers for the series, and tonight we'll direct the first episode. This is basically like Mark Millar's Kingdom Come, of like, we are the old superheroes and now the new come in. We also have American Jesus, multilingual
Jesus.
Spanish English series.
Is it Jesus?
American Jesus follows 12-year-old boy a 12-year-old boy who suddenly discovers he's returned as Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
He can turn water into wine, make the crippled walk, and perhaps even raise the dead. How will he deal with the destiny to lead the world in a conflict thousands of years in the making? Ervato Gout, who served for Luke Cage, Sacred Lies, Mars, which is getting a second season, fuck yes, Banshee in Aquí en la Tierra, and Leonardo Gout, Molly's Game and Instinct will serve as the co-showrunners for this project. And we also have three films. We get Empress, which was under the Icon imprint at Marvel. Queen Emporia is married to literally the worst dictator in the galaxy, King Morax. After escaping his palace with her children, Emporia and her family must hide from Morax and his army at all costs, even if it's teleporting from Morax planet to planet to avoid him. Now, writer Lindsay Beer, who, she's writing the King Killer Chronicle TV series with Lin-Manuel, and the upcoming Sierra Burgess, is a loser for Netflix in Wizards of Once for DreamWorks, is adapting the comic book into a feature film with Joe Roth and Jeff
Kirschenbaum,
who did Voyage of the Dr. Doolittle, and Maleficent, set to produce. The one I'm most excited for is Huck. Can't fucking wait. This is Forrest Gump with superpowers. In a quiet seaside town, Huck uses special gifts to do a good deed each day. His neighbors return the favors by keeping his abilities a secret, but when a newcomer alerts the media, a firestorm erupts, sending Huck on an adventure that will change everything. Ted Melfi, who did Hidden Figures and St. Vincent, is adapting the comic book into a feature film with Neil H. Moritz and Toby Jaffe set to produce. This was Mark Millar's answer to Man of Steel. It's like, Superman can't be violent. We're doing small town country boy Superman called Huck. And he did the series with Raphael Albuquerque, which was awesome. And part of the series ends up like, Huck, we got to look for your mother, who's in Soviet Russia. And your twin brother isn't actually your twin brother. He's also a Soviet Russian agent. It's awesome.
Yes.
It's so good. It was one of my favorite comics. And the last feature film is Sharky the Bounty Hunter. Set in a brilliant new sci-fi series, Sharky is a blue-collar bounty hunter tracking criminals across the galaxy in his converted rocket-powered ice cream truck.
I'm sorry,
aided
what?
And abetted by his 10-year-old partner. He's out for the biggest bounty of his career. Sharky the Bounty Hunter will be adapted and published as a Millar World/Netflix comic next year, and writer Michael Bacall, who did Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and 21 Jump Street, is writing the screenplay for the feature film.
Huh. Okay.
So this list of things sound like they could be really good.
Yeah, I mean, Millar's whole thing was like he wrote comics set up with people so they could get paid for the comic they wrote.
Right.
Like, someone at Fox tried to, like, just straight up buy Corona Knots. He's like, no, I have an artist working on it. We're going to share the rights together, not just me. So he has a really cool business tactic that a lot of people don't like, but I mean,
he's very divisive, but
yeah. And at this point, he's handing over the reins of Millar World to other people. Like, Jeff Lemire is gonna be writing Hit Girl next, and yeah, it's cool. I can't wait for Huck 2.
The Huckening.
That's my guess. What happened with the Soviet agents?
All right. That does sound like a wild story.
It's
speaking
awesome.
Like, especially with what was the comic you showed me with the mecha bear?
Oh, that's further on the list.
Okay, good. I wanted to know about this.
Yeah, there's a giant bear mech fighting a giant robot with a sword, and I'm like, yep, I'm gonna read this comic.
Go on.
So
say no more.
Continuing with movie news from San Diego Comic-Con, the first Shazam trailer has been released.
Shazam!
In under 24 hours, they have accrued more than 5 million views on YouTube. It looks so good. It is the DC movie we deserve.
Zachary Levi is now the perfect choice to have played Shazam.
It's so weird to see him act like a 13-year-old, but it works so fucking well.
He fucking flossed. I hate that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's the one part I'm like, you don't have to act like a total 13-year-old.
No, not the Fortnite dances.
The floss was a dance before Fortnite. It was a dance before Backpack
Kid. But that's
Kid.
The only thing no people know it for now.
We need to change that. We don't need to add.
Well, did you hear Chance the Rapper? He ranted on Twitter about how Fortnite's been stealing all these dances from black artists, and he wants them to play the music that goes along with the dance. And it's like,
you can't
respect that. Do we really need like the Snoop Dogg? What was the song where he's doing the wheel dance?
I don't know. I can't remember the song.
Oh, you're talking like the
Is that the actual Snoop?
Smoke weed every day.
Is that the actual Snoop Dogg? Like the D-O-double-G? Yeah. Nah. Yeah.
It's the motherfucking D-O-double-G
Snoop Dogg. Yeah. So, but the Shazam trailer, we see our first, like, a Dr. Savannah's played by Mark Strong, and we also see all the Shazam, or two of the Shazam kids.
I was going to say, it's like, all the Shazam kids, well, like...
They're probably out of focus.
Yeah.
But we see like Freddy the side, and Billy.
Like, you see a bunch of, like, hands in, so...
Well, if it's anything like Jeff Johns' New 52 comic, the last 20 minutes, they all go for it.
It's like, here, we've got all of these other kids now. Like, how do you like to be called the Shazam kids?
Back in my day, they were the Marvel family.
I like that it doesn't take itself too seriously either. Like, when Billy meets Dr. Savannah, he's like, Shazam.
Like, or when he meets Shazam.
When he meets Shazam.
Yeah.
Not like, Savannah's.
And then when he meets Savannah, it's like, you're the bad guy, aren't you? It's like, this is the mentality of a 13-year-old who has suddenly been given the power of gods.
What's up? I'm a superhero. Or, I like that was the hashtag that started.
Or
you're welcome.
When he goes back to his house, he slams a note against the door that just says, don't scream. And it's like, who the fuck does that?
A 13-year-old.
Billy.
I also appreciate that they're doing like the kid thing where they find a camera and they're like, videotaping all the tests.
Yeah, it's like,
what are your powers? I don't freaking know.
I wonder if that's going to be like the middle finger to like when Justice League did the vlog at the beginning of it. But it's like, yeah, it's like the classic Chronicle thing. It's like, all right, super strength, check. Flight?
Kind of.
Not yet.
Lightning powers. But again, it's like, I'm going to do good in the world. I'm going to charge everyone's cell phone.
I'm going to overcharge that one.
Yeah.
I'm just curious on who is playing the wizard.
The
voice sounded very familiar, but I couldn't place it. But I think Zachary Levi was the perfect choice, because especially like after Chuck, he was essentially a man child who didn't grow up until the later seasons. So having someone who needs to play the mentality of a 13-year-old
I feel like he's the next best choice to having The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of like, really, we have Zachary Levi? No offense, but he just doesn't fit the build. But, like, you know, he worked out, and he looks better in the costume in the film versus just the random stills we've seen.
It's like they can touch those up post-filming.
No, he should always be ripped. The Wizard Shazam is played by, I don't know how to pronounce his name, it's very French.
Jimon Hansu.
Yeah, Jimon Hansu, who plays the Fisherman King in Aquaman. He's also Korath the Pursuer in Guardians of the Galaxy and in Captain Marvel coming up. Oh, yeah. He was in Blood Diamond, Gladiator, Fast 7.
He's been in all sorts of things.
Yeah, he's pretty... Dude, how cool do you have to be in four separate superhero films? Like, that's pretty epic.
As different characters.
Yeah. And it's really cool, too, to see how, see that the larger DC universe does exist. Like, Freddy has a Batarang. He's wearing an Aquaman shirt. There's a Superman toy in the background.
He's got news clippings of the events of Justice League.
Do we have the Worlds of DC thing later on there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have thoughts of something regarding this and that.
It's in another category. Two categories from now. In addition to Shazam and speaking of Freddy's Aquaman shirt, we also got our first Aquaman trailer. James Wan stole all of the color from every Zack Snyder film and put it in his movie.
It's like, we found it.
It's like, you're not using this. I'll take it.
I need some purples and some bright blues here.
Like, wait, you mean we have a better saturation budget thanks to Zack Snyder? Sweet.
Again, this is the guy who's done the Annabelle films, the Conjuring films, and now he's doing superhero epic.
He did a Fast and Furious movie too, right?
Yes.
Tokyo Drift, didn't he?
I'll double check.
Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo!
He did one of them.
But it's like, they fully accepted. It's like, all right, this is our Aquaman. We're reinventing this character.
This is Surfer Bro Aquaman, and we're sticking to that.
He's the reluctant king. He doesn't want to go back to Atlantis. He knows it exists.
He talks like a punk to everyone.
Yeah. And we also get to see I think it's Dolph Lundgren that plays his father.
James Wan did Furious 7.
Okay. And then we also see a lot of Amber Heard. She looks awesome as Mira. Copying John now. Just need to hear her name. Mira. Mara.
Is it not Mara?
He always says Mira.
I thought it was Mara. Cause,
I always call her Mara.
Yeah, just because when I hear Mira, I think M-I-R-A, as in Spanish, you know what, as in listen.
You know what I'm upset about? Mira. They still have not said Zebel, Zybel. How the fuck do you say her homeworld?
We don't know.
Nobody has said it yet.
But we see the motherfucking trench. I'm so excited.
Dolph Lundgren is King Nereus.
Yeah, so that's his father.
I thought his father was a fisherman.
Yeah, his father's fisherman.
No. He's like a Queen Alana. The king of Alanis is Nereus. Orm, his father.
Orm's brother.
No, Orm's father is Nereus. But it's so cool because...
Well, you said Orm is his father. I'm like...
We see Orm. He looks great. But even more importantly, fucking Black Manta. Like, Steve and I were sitting watching the trailer. And as soon as he did the laser eyes, I like double fist pumped. I'm like,
motherfucking yes! Laser eyes!
Laser eyes! Like, that's the only thing that was important to me about Black Manta.
Yeah.
Because...
I brought up this concern to you when earlier today when we were talking about it. It's a little worrying that they're already using two major villains with Ocean Master and Black Manta in the same movie. But then it's like, oh, well, what if Black Manta's, like, orchestrating Orm to go attack the surface world like in the comics?
In the same vein, from Justice League, Throne of Atlantis.
Yeah.
Like the comic from the Justice League.
Black Manta's kind of working in the background.
Yeah, Black Manta's there. He's the person. Well, no. Volko is the puppet master in that movie, or in that comic, and in the animated film. That's why in Dan Abnett's run, Volko was originally in jail.
Right.
So, because he kind of orchestrated the entire Throne of Atlantis thing. He was the one who... put Orm up and then had Arthur come down to fight in the Civil War. So it could be similar to that, where I mean, Abnett also did what you said, where he was the puppet master behind everything in this last arc, but I kind of see
the rebirth arc.
Yeah. But it's like part of me is looking at Black Manta being there because he's like, I hate Atlanteans. They killed my father, just in the same vein of the comics.
Like, I want to watch everything burn.
Yeah.
As much as underwater people can burn.
Yeah. And I'm really excited because in Mara, Queen of Atlantis, they actually like redeemed Orm. Like he's not
a complete asshole.
Yeah.
He's like, I just want the best for Atlantis now.
I want the best for my child that I have adopted from the surface world. I grew a thing called a heart.
This is what you humans refer to as emotion.
What is emotion?
What's a dog's greatest weakness? Stairs. Sorry, just robot talk. So yeah, I'm super jazzed about both DC films. Aquaman trailer reached 10 million views in under 24 hours. It's beat both Godzilla and Shazam.
Speaking of Godzilla,
yeah, Steve was living out his fantasies. Mothra! That was my thing.
Yeah, I'm like, that was the
show. Mothra, do it, you cowards. It was
like Godzilla. They showed a picture of Rodan. It's like, show Mothra, you cowards. You won't.
And Steve was like, Mothra is like too weak. He's like a B-list villain for Godzilla. I want to fight someone strong like King Rodan. And then Rodan shows up.
Rodan shows up. All there. Fucking King Ghidorah, Mothra, Gamera. Oh!
This is exactly what I wanted from these movies when they said they were rebooting them.
Kaiju.
The first one was kind of a letdown because we only got one monster fight at the end. But,
and 5 minutes of Bryan Cranston.
Yeah. But
and kick ass.
This one, you better not fucking bait it and switch us again.
Yeah.
Even though it's Millie Bobby Brown is the lead in this.
Which is cool. Like, I made the same comment to you and Steve that, like, the Stranger Kids are finally getting outside of their television roles.
They have some, like, credibility in
I've tenure. Only seen, like, Finn Wolfhard and Millie Bobby Brown do anything, though. I don't know about the other three.
Yeah. I think I think Dustin's in a few things. Like smaller roles.
Yeah.
I do like, though, how in the trailer for Godzilla, they're like, yeah, we have to find all of the original Titans. Can't just go right to Kaiju, I guess. But like, we have to find the Titans. Only they can save the world. Then, like, 1 minute later in the trailer, everything's on fire. Like, well, things are blowing up. Things are being destroyed. Like, how'd that go for saving the world?
Well, they
do
the
really
whole
think
trailer
King
is,
would save the world?
Yeah, the whole trailer is like, yeah, the world's fucked. Like, we've unleashed, like, we are a virus and a plague upon the world.
We
and the
weren't
monsters
the
are
original.
Here.
There is something before us.
The monsters are here to wipe us out.
Yeah. It was neat seeing just everything. And it's like, even though we didn't get a kaiju battle in the trailer.
They better be saving all of it.
Like, I just want to see Godzilla rip through Mothra. Like, just one atomic blast straight through and you
no,
see the wings just fall.
No. They will fight for a little bit. Then they will realize they have the same cause because Mothra helps Godzilla later in the kaiju cinematic universe. You can take down Rodan. You can hurt King Ghidorah so we can come back as Mecha King Ghidorah. Then we get Mecha Godzilla.
Oh my god, yes, we're gonna get Mecha Godzilla.
I'm just wondering how this fits into
the King Kong one.
King Kong.
Well, the next movie is Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, well, there we go. Like they can't afford all of those A-list actors. Unless this does well. And then fucking Pacific Rim Godzilla.
Oh my
god. I mean, but yes, I mean, if you look at the sizing chart though, that'd be kind of unfair.
The Jaeger just stomps on him.
You're like,
Kong,
movie's over.
We're done.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, we are living out the best time to be a nerd currently.
The only thing that I would love that they're never going to do, but would love if they just somehow slipped it in, post-credit scene, a little tiny Godzilla shows up, boom, Godzilla and Godzuki. I would cry.
No.
Do it, you cowards.
Why the fuck not?
Give me Godzuki!
Well, it's like, I love the final shot from the trailer right before the All Hail of the King of the Monsters is Godzilla with all the jets flying behind him. I'm like, oh, it's like the old cartoon. That's such a neat little thing.
I also hope Ken Watanabe brings back the let them fight.
It's like, no, really, let them fight. This is going to be awesome.
You just want to see giant monsters fight each other.
Do you see that dragon with three heads and the flying raptor? Yeah, let them fight.
We can't do shit.
I mean, the moth is there, cool and all, but three-headed dragon.
Then the Power Rangers show up.
Yeah. But like, oh my god, King Ghidorah.
And
the turtle Gamera.
So, it's so exciting. So
he was able to name every monster. I'm just like,
yeah.
I know Mothra.
I know about half
I
of
don't
them.
Fuck around when it comes to the kaiju.
Kaiju?
It's going to be awesome.
I just remember that scene from Austin Powers where it's like, oh, it's Godzilla. Actually, no, it's not.
It's like, no, due to copyright claims, it's not Godzilla. But still, we should run like against Godzilla. Even though it's not.
Yeah. All right. Moving into our next category. Television.
Dun, 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 dun.
How was all of this announced at SDCC? Like, all of this.
SDCC is just pop culture announcement of everything.
And
now,
the thing is, a majority of this was announced on Friday. I put like 80% of these notes Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So first thing, Marvel Rising Initiation trailer got released. It's their new animated series that exists.
Squirrel Girl, Kamala Khan, and Ghost Spider.
And Patriots.
Patriot and Quake.
Sunspot?
From what they showed in the initiation trailer, like, these are just the shorts that lead up to the movie Secret Warriors, but they showed Patriot, Squirrel Girl, Kamala Khan, Spider-Gwen, a.k.a. Ghost Spider, and Quake.
Everybody's just going to refer to her as Spider-Gwen. We refuse.
Well, it's like
the movie is straight up calling her Ghost
new
Spider.
Comic book.
I know.
She's Spider-Gwen, Ghost Spider, and it's just like...
But, like...
But why?
The trailer, I think I read, like, the description was, like, Ghost Spider's on one for a murder she didn't come in. Like, whoa! You're going straight to murder on Disney XD?
Inferno. Not Sunspot. Sunspot's a DC hero.
Okay, but he was not in the trailer.
Okay. So. And we also get Captain Marvel. I think she's supposed to lead the team.
Is that right? Secret Warriors or is that Initiation?
This is Secret Warriors.
Okay.
She'll probably be in it.
They haven't shown anything for Secret Warriors yet.
She'll be in it.
Ghost Spider's framed for her friend's murder, while Miss Marvel, Squirrel Girl, Quake, and Patriot are sent to bring her in. Shit. That sucks.
Yeah. Again, Disney XD going straight to murder.
Oh, cool. Chloe Bennett's still voicing Quake.
She's going
to
be Quake.
It sucks that she's dating Logan Paul.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
Sorry.
Why? Just... Why?
He's funny and creative, Zach.
He's an asshole.
He's a piece of shit.
Let's leave this octopus on the back of a cab, Zach. It's funny. It's content for YouTube.
Let's go around Japan and be culturally insensitive to everyone there with rice paddy hats and kimonos.
Buy a Game Boy, smash it on the street. We won't let you forget James Paul. Logan Paul. He's James Paul.
I don't know.
You just like the combined version of his two brothers.
That's Jake Paul.
Yeah, he's James Paul now. There's a fucking poster of Jake Paul at Target, and I was like irrationally mad looking at it. All right.
Can we burn all of these?
Next up, Voltron Season 7.
Voltron!
She-Ro!
So hyped.
She-Ro's gay.
Eventually you'll watch Voltron.
I mean,
outside of like the few episodes I know, we all sat down and watched.
This past season was so good.
I was texting Rachel and I've seen like a few episodes I think in season 3. But that's
You saw like the season 3 finale and then the first couple episodes of season 4. And then a few sprinkled here and there.
Yeah, I remember watching like, Pidge is a girl. Neat. Moving forward with the rest of the story.
Yeah, because they don't focus on the fact that Pidge is a woman. Because it doesn't matter if you're a woman. You can still be a badass space warrior and a lion.
Yeah, like
just
all
like Shiro being gay.
Look at Allura.
Yeah, Allura. She's also a pilot now.
Allura just does what she needs to.
Well, yeah, she's super cool.
Because Keith needed to go off and learn about his people. And joined the Swords of Amara, so they needed a new lion pilot. The Red Lion accepted Lance, so they needed a new blue lion. So Uhura stepped up as the Pink Paladin.
Yes. So do you think there's a time skip? Because it's like, wow, that whole thing was crazy. Let's go back to Earth. Earth is on fire.
I think so, just because the way they framed it with the no one's seen you since your battle with Lotor. Because a lot of crazy shit happens in that battle.
Mm-hmm.
To where they could easily be like, yeah, it's been like 3 years.
Do they grow wings during that fight?
The Black Lion does, but then they take him away. Which I just give me fucking Angel Voltron with the blazing sword.
They'll get to that.
I'll cry.
They'll get to that, Steve. They'll get to that.
I mean,
also shout out to how fucking quick they get this show out.
Yeah, so Rachel and I were talking about it. It's the same animators. They're teaming up with DreamWorks, but it's the same animators that did Legend of Korra.
Yeah, it's the Korean animation studio.
And they're like super top notch. Everything is so fluid in that show.
Yeah.
As very little avatarisms.
Did we also add the Avatar creators new series?
Yes.
Okay. Dragon Queen.
Speaking of which, animated show, The Dragon Prince, coming to Netflix from the writer and director of Avatar The Last Airbender.
I'm on top of this shit.
Yeah. It was literally next on the list. I'm like, Zach, just stop. So that's cool.
I'm down. Looked cool.
It has the same animation style as Voltron.
That's probably the same studio, since they probably already have a relationship.
And it looks good. Again, not a lot of details. It was a minute and a half of like fast pace, like, look at all this shit. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Magic, swords, dragons. Like,
hey. All right.
I mean, Last Airbender didn't have much going on. Like, actually, I would be curious to go watch like an original announcement trailer for that and see how much they show.
I mean, you've seen all the bending stuff from like back when Avatar came out, but there was like no plot description other than many years ago, four nations lived in harmony.
And then everything changed with the Fire Nation.
I miss that meme. Can we bring it back?
Colorado's already on fire. It comes back in waves.
Yeah, every time Colorado's on fire. speaking of dragons, though, George R. R. Martin's developing a new series called The Night Flyer. Trailer got put out. I haven't looked at it. I just don't really care enough.
Sci-fi horror series that's going to be I can't remember the plot description, but they go up into space and they go to a space station they already had there completely empty, and like it's just showing them walking around and like something's creeping around the station, and like the very end I did the classic Zach move of like I watched the last like 5 seconds of it at like 1/4 speed. Because, again, if you watch at normal speed, you see nothing. It shows, like, a walkway, and you see, like, a hand or a claw or something come in, cuts away. But it does look very anxiety-inducing.
Where's the group of people that are still pissed that George R. R. Martin's working on other things other than the last Game of Thrones book?
He's not working on this. He just wrote the novel.
Okay. So this has been done for a while.
Yeah, no, he wrote the novel. It got published. He originally wrote it as, like, a short story, and then it went over so well, this part was like, yeah, write a full book about it. So he made a whole...
The Brandon Sanderson.
Sci-fi horror novel that got published years ago. Got made into a movie in 1983, I think. And then they're making a TV show out of it now.
Nice.
So it's not like he's taking time out of his work to do this. I would be so pissed if he was. Like, no, give me the fucking Winds of Winter already.
Finish the fucking series. Do it. Some people will shut up.
Just give me Winds of Winter.
Well, it's like how we'll never have a good live action Wheel of Time.
Probably not.
Television show. Like, whoever owned the rights for it, like, put out a pilot
episode. Doesn't Disney own it now?
No. Whoever owned it, this happened like 2 years ago.
Wrinkle of Time.
They put out a pilot for the Wheel of Time television series.
Oh, like
at like yeah, 2 a.m.
Just out of nowhere.
So no one watched it. But it's like, nope, we still own the rights. We produced something. Fuck you.
It's the Fantastic Four approach.
Yep. And Four Stick.
Yes.
In other news, Batwoman television series in works from Greg Berlanti. He is owning all superhero television media.
Like, they're just jumping straight from, yeah, we're going to have her in the crossover. Maybe see how that goes. To just...
yeah,
here's a show
full series.
Like, well, it's we'll use it as a backdoor pilot, quote unquote. But we're getting a series.
Berlanti
anyway.
Can't do any wrong. Like, honestly, everything he's done has done amazing. And like, once he leaves the show as the showrunner, we get some bumps. But like, he's honestly proven himself to be a fantastic.
He knows
producer.
How to start get shows off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then, there's that like transition period where the
new
team
takes over, and then it's kind of like. Shaky. Yeah.
Era season 3.
And then they kind of get their stride and they're like, all right, now we're Era season 4. We're getting better. Wait, no. Era season 4 was the terrible one. Era season
right,
5
yeah.
stepped it up.
3 was, yeah. 3 was the good
3
one.
3 was Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, 3 was
3 was
okay.
4
3
was
okay.
Damian Dark. 5 got better.
Yeah. 2 is still probably the highlight of the entire
show. Well, it's
show.
Even like how Flash had a really weird bump in the middle between seasons 2 and 3. Like, just... yeah, speedster villains. Yeah, speedster villains. But let's take a minute and put Barry in jail.
Why? Then Ralph Dibny shows up.
And redeemed him. Kind
of. All of this is season 4 you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
What happened in season 3 then?
Season 3
was HR.
Season 2 was HR. Or no,
I never watched season
3. Season 2 was Harry. Season 3 was HR. And Savitar was the villain.
Oh, yeah, it was fucking Savitar. That's
season
like,
4.
That's where there's like, I will not let Savitar kill you. Savitar kills Iris.
But he didn't.
He kills HR instead. Yep. Spoilers. Yeah.
But season 4 was the Thinker.
Okay.
And then he framed Barry for his murder when he transferred himself into a new body. So Barry went to jail.
I love comic books.
And then the MacGuffin that is Ralph Dibny and his ability to change his shape to look like anybody and mimic their vocal cords... came rolling into the courtroom as the Thinker's human body. He's like, "Nah, Barry didn't kill me." It's like, "All right, Barry, you're good to go."
So,
and then just
we watched the trailer. So we get Nora Allen West as the daughter between Barry and Iris,
aka not Dawn.
Yeah, not Dawn. It's the Fire Emblem problem of I've come from the future where all shit is fucked. Well, I want to enjoy my parents.
Although. From the sound, like the way they've set it up at the end of the last season, it's like it's not the future's fucked. It's I came back from the future because I fucked up.
Like, it's the Bart Allen
super
problem.
Bad.
So like, glad Bart is back.
There's no pregnant,
pregnant Iris. Mother.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hi,
mom. Hi, Uncle Don.
Yeah.
What?
It's like back. Fuck
one of the greatest
twins.
Scenes in Young Justice.
Soon. We also get a Stargirl live action series announced for DC streaming app. Jeff Johns is to write and produce. I can't imagine why he wouldn't.
I was gonna say he pretty much created the character.
Is this gonna be
for his late sister? Like
sister died, and so he created her.
You think this is gonna lead into like Legion of Superheroes somehow?
No, well, Stargirl is a JSA character.
Right.
That's where they're
Justice League International.
They're kind of debating if
because
they already had Stargirl in Legends.
Right.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So they're thinking like, no one knows if it's going to be
in continuity,
a continuity of that, or a separate thing because Jeff Johns is keeping his mouth shut.
She's also gonna step on someone's jaw and break it. Derailed. Yeah, it's really cool to see Courtney have some spotlight. She was always one of my favorite JSA people.
She's
she was like
character.
She was the young
the
one on the
one.
Team. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm here to help everyone.
She has Starman's rod and it's just like all the stuff from
phrasing.
Sorry.
So much phrasing.
She has the star rod.
Thank you.
And just
she has
her,
Starman's rod.
Try just, again.
Just her stuff from Justice League Unlimited even was super neat. Also, Justice League. They're really pushing for a reboot, like one season reboot, like that in Teen Titans.
Snyder's
right now
is like set up the perfect thing for it in yeah the comics.
Well, it's just like you're sitting there. It's just like, could we get another season of our show on DC's streaming platform? Which brings us to Deadly Class. I jumped the gun. Deadly Class. We watched the trailer produced by the Russo brothers. Our good buddy Gabe, his daughter really likes the series. It's a Matt Fraction series, right?
No.
What's Matt Fraction's Dead series?
His Dead series? No, that's you're thinking of Kelly Sue's Pretty Deadly. The Western.
Googling stuff.
Which Pretty Deadly is fucking great, and it's eventually coming back.
Zach and Zach are Googling stuff.
Sorry, I got the two Marvel people confused. It's Rick Remender.
Yeah. I was just saying, no, I wanted to say Brubaker, but I'm like, no, it's the other one. It's the one that also writes in a similar style.
Yeah. So, just all the Marvel people, you just get them mixed up. So, Deadly Class is focusing on the story of Marcus Lopez as he transitions from living on the streets to being enrolled into a school of assassins. The academy, run by Master Lin, is composed of the children of mob bosses, mass murderers, learning the same trade as their parents. Marcus' decision to attend the school is one of the only decisions he gets to make for himself throughout the arc and history. His entire life has been composed of a series of unfortunate events, each leaving him further ostracized from humanity. Mark's lack of residence in primary... Oh. Marcus's lack of residence is primarily due to both of his parents dying in a horrible accident when he was young. This results in Marcus being placed into an orphanage in which the head of the house required his manual labor from him to retain residence. So he joins the assassination classroom. And
great anime.
The original comic series lasted for 31 issues, composing of 6 different volumes. It's gonna be lit.
It looks
I'm excited.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to the guy in there that looked like he was going Super Saiyan. Someone had blonde hair that was spiked way back, and I'm like, Goku?
You're my character. Where it's like, I look at the Latina lady who has the...
The bladed fans.
The bladed fans with the skull makeup. I'm like,
so are you like yes Katana a Latino mob boss daughter?
No, she comes from a mariachi assassin family.
Maria. Her name is Maria, for the record. Maria Salazar. So yeah, Anthony and Joe Russo have signed on to produce the television series. Sony has optioned it for Sci-Fi, or the pilot for Sci-Fi. Benedict Wong, Benjamin Wadsworth, Lana Condor, Michael Duvall, and Maria Gabriela de Faria are among actors to be main characters. And Sci-Fi officially picked up the series like 2 months ago. We just never talked about it. Deadly Class.
Well, then they turned around this real quick.
Or April. Sorry. I forgot what month it was. 3 months ago.
Where are we?
Who am I? Speaking of who I am, the DC Extended Universe, because I live and bleed DC.
Okay, there you go.
Has been renamed to DC Worlds.
Worlds of DC.
Yeah. Worlds of DC, which is like, look, it's a multiverse.
That was my, all right. Yeah, this is my whole thing with like just the tonal thing with like Shazam. It's like, yeah, here's like references to the other things, but it's not. It doesn't seem like there's gonna be any direct correlation to them. So I'm wondering if they're gonna go with the like a pseudo anthology approach for a while.
Well, you heard like
the Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
Yeah,
movie.
Joaquin Phoenix has officially been announced as the Joker. And this was on Wednesday. They announced that the film has a release date of October 4th, 2019. The studio has announced the movie is just called Joker. So it's directed by Todd Phillips. The film centers around the iconic arch nemesis and an original standalone story not seen before on the big screen. Phillips' exploration of a man disregarded by society is not only a gritty character study, but also a broader cautionary tale. So, the one thing I will never want ever in my entire life is an origin story for the Joker. I always liked the Azzarello. I think it was Azzarello who did it with Lee right. Burima, where it's like, my life is my history is multiple yeah. choice. Am I this? Am I this?
Am I that? The comedian? Am I this? Am I that?
Agent of Chaos. But it seems like what you were saying, the tonal shift, even though Shazam has been confirmed, I think, to be part of the same world as Batman versus Superman and everything else, this gives them the option to be like, you know, balls to the wall.
Yeah, it's all the same universe here, but we don't have to, we're not trying to, it doesn't seem like they're at least going for like, yeah, we're going to build this giant lead up to another Justice League or something.
Like,
yeah.
Everything has to be connected somehow, like, some way.
It feels like they're finally deciding, like, no, let's just do our own thing. Let's fuck this whole MCU-style thing. This is Worlds of DC. We have a name for it now.
And let's be real. Up until the live-action films, DC dominated the animated and movie departments.
Yeah, their animated films are still stellar.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't know.
Death of Superman.
Some of them are.
I still need to watch, but I heard it was really
great.
I've
heard it's one of the best.
Because Peter Tomasi wrote it. It's like, hey.
And then don't we get the Return of Superman soon?
We get Reign of the Superman next.
Oh, my God.
So, the Metropolis Kid.
Hang on, I'll pull up
the article.
Cyborg
fucking Superman.
But more importantly, the Metropolis Kid.
Don't call him Superboy.
So, this is coming from Gizmodo. DC did announce a slate of animated films. So, one of them is being... The one big one that they announced was Batman Hush, the animated film that takes place in the DCNU, which is the DCNAU. Worlds of DC Universe. Damn it. What's wrong without punching the mic? We also get Reign of the Supermen, Justice League versus the Fatal Five, and Wonder Woman Bloodlines. Nice. So a lot of different things being announced in the animated department, and I'm super hyped for all of that. I think your brother just like fell down the stairs.
Very rhythmically, I might add.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. In addition to the Worlds of DC news being announced and it not
still
being a theme park, we get our first look at Titans.
All right. Before the throwing of shit happens, I did link an article of Jeff Johns talking about this series, which he is a writer on this series.
He wrote multiple episodes on it, along with Brian Hill Edwards.
In Jeff Johns, we trust.
Brian Edward Hill.
Just answer, has Jeff Johns done anything to hurt you?
No? Well, emotionally, yes.
But has he done anything terrible that you're like, fuck this shit?
No. Okay. The reason I'm like, is like, I can tell they're trying to do something different with the characters, which I appreciate. At the same time, everyone's reaction is the fuck no, go back.
Even though Jeff Johns did say, yes, this was a darker tone trailer, but you haven't seen everything.
It's true.
We get to see Cop Dick Grayson. Look, if everything goes according to plan, if Teen Titans Season 6 gets greenlit, we have Young Justice Outsiders, we have Titans, maybe we get Justice League Unlimited to come back in some fashion. We get at least 4 different iterations of Dick Grayson on screen. It's the best day ever.
There's so much Dick.
I'm willing to hold reservations until we actually see an episode of this thing come out.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't think this is a good... From the trailer, I don't think this is a good seller for their streaming
service. I don't think it was either.
I think they might have gone down a wrong path starting with the we're dark
Batman.
And gritty... Like, the fuck Batman I can see, like...
But who's he gonna marry and kill?
Yeah. Like, still the best joke out of this whole thing.
But, like, there was... When Batman
Barbara
and
Gordon.
Dick split, there was tension between them. If you're going for a little bit darker series, yeah, he's pissed off Batman. Fuck Batman.
Yeah, so Jeff Johns in this Polygon article stated, the trailer shows a piece of the tone of the show. The show's not all that. But it does make you go, why is he saying... Fuck Batman. If you look at when Robin first left Batman in the comics, there's a lot of uneasiness in him being lost. Titans is really a series about these different characters that are all lost in their lives, just like the greatest comic book Titans run ever by Marv Wolfman and George Perez. It's all about these lost characters finding one another, and they're all struggling with something, and Robin is clearly struggling with his past with Batman. I'm willing to excuse fuck Batman, Dick Grayson almost killing someone by stepping on their jaw,
firing a gun.
One of the things I hate about this trailer is that sound design in that part right there. Like, it's supposed to look like, oh, he just killed a man by stepping on him. He stepped on the man's jaw. No way would it go. It's a jaw.
The one thing I do not excuse is Dove in her Dove armor or whatever have you slicing a man's ankle open. She is the literal embodiment of peace.
Okay, hold on.
The symbol of peace.
Hold on, because this leads to me getting on my soapbox about everyone shitting on the design of Starfire so far. We have seen, in total, one trailer with one scene with zero context.
Exactly.
To any of it. So calm the fuck down.
Maybe
about Starfire.
Maybe it's a disguise still.
Exactly. Maybe they're going undercover on the streets. Or she is just wandering the streets for now, and she had to look the part.
Deku did it.
We have seen one scene.
Yeah.
Zero context.
I mean, it's still the
Raven,
same.
Raven looks great, though.
Raven looks amazing. I like the look of Beast Boy. Yes, he stands out.
I love his jacket.
Because he's bright fucking green with a bright red and white jacket in a city of Zack Snyder.
Yeah, also, did you notice they shot everything in, like, one single alley for most of the
action scenes? Well, that's like, everyone's like, this is one episode. Okay, got it.
Probably.
It's like, so, until we get more context.
Also, if you're going to throw in the Doom Patrol into this series eventually, it kind of has to be fucking dark and weird.
Okay. No, but yes. Like, the Doom Patrol is, like, that was their answer to the Fantastic Four back in the day. Like, that was their analog characters. They didn't get weird until Grant Morrison was, like,
and then Gerard Way
just doing
up.
So many drugs. And just that series, just, God, I love it so much. I can't say a bad thing about it. The cross-dressing ambulance who turns into a street. Let's
and
be
was
real.
Was also a brick.
Who was a brick that turned in, that killed a god.
I don't think we're going to get that aspect of the Doom Patrol.
Well, we can hope.
Maybe not right away. Maybe let it get some footing first, and then maybe trip on acid.
See, I think we're going to get like the Teen Titans Season 5 Doom Patrol, where it's like, yes, we are actually superheroes. You have a literal man who's a robot, and someone who is the living embodiment of another dimension, who has whose body goes comatose when his energy leaves.
Yes and yes, but we're still heroes.
Yep.
I'm just like... I will wait until we see more footage.
Yeah.
Like, that I can give the benefit of the doubt to. Those, and I'm sorry, Tim you're one of the people on the list because you immediately came out of the gate swinging on this. Give him a fucking chance. Like, I have faith in what Geoff Johns can do. He is defending this, saying, you haven't seen it all yet. Give it a little bit. Wait till all the footage comes out. Then judge it.
Sorry, first two episodes, because Hawk and Dove are the second episode and allegedly Starfire is the third. Anyways, they're all lost. Geoff Johns is working on it, so is Greg Berlanti. I mean, just go for it. Like, we also get Jason Todd, and they did say we're going to get a fight between Dick and Jason. So we also get Donna Troy.
Which makes me think that Jason Todd is post...
He's
death of Robin.
He's like, doesn't know like, what he's out.
And that's also why Robin's pissed at him, is because he let Jason die.
Or
yeah, I could see
the other
too.
Way is that if this is the initial split between Dick and Bruce, Jason coming in, it's like, boy, howdy golly gee, I just want him to be like super
golly
bright
gee,
and happy. Like him just being there as like the cheerful character, and we get like a brother episode, not I'm gonna fucking kill you, yes, Dick.
Just like, golly gee, Richard, it's so much fun being Robin.
Wow, you were Robin before me? What happened? Just like the animated series episode. Yeah.
Again, I know I just got on the whole thing of zero context, which I know they'll elaborate on. I don't know how I feel about policeman Dick Grayson still being Robin. Like, I could see him being Nightwing.
But he was a cop in Bloodhaven.
Well, that was during the Nightwing.
Yeah, as Nightwing. But for him to still be going around as Robin, it's still kind of like, it's a little weird, but I'll wait to see.
Look, man, Tim Drake was Robin for a long time. I think he was Robin longer than Dick ever was.
Like, end of season one, like, have him pull out a Nightwing costume.
Yeah.
Since they're introducing Donna Troy also.
Fucking Disco Wing. Do it, you cowards.
Give us the V.
All right, so we need to find a Do It, You Cowards for Zach.
Yep.
I've got Godzuki, you've got Disco Wing.
All right. Fucking Christ. Other cool streaming stuff. Young Justice Outsiders first trailer dropped.
Oh, it looks hype.
Yes.
Oh, it
finally
looks hype.
I texted Kayla and I'm like, this is so Jack Kirby. There's the fourth world. Orion's there. Dark the forearm side. Dude is Bug the Forager. I'm like, we're getting new gods. Because, again, we left Arrowhead. With Dark Side. It's like, yeah, we got Sissy King Jones.
Cassie's still a big part.
Spoiler.
Tracy spoiler. 13. Like, again, it's the same Katana. Thing. Has Geoff Johns ever done me wrong? No. Has Greg Weisman ever done me wrong? No. His shit just gets canceled all
emotionally,
the time.
Yes.
And it's just
quality-wise,
like,
no.
But it's like, and let's show a recap of the first two seasons. Wally dying. It's like... Why was that like, your yes. choice?
They say like, yeah, recap of what happened
because this is
recently.
A big moment.
Oh, we're starting off with Wally.
Well, okay,
that's the tone we're going for, huh?
I wonder if that's going to be part of, that's going to be the subplot is like, what the fuck happened to him?
Where's Wally?
Where is
the
he?
Yellow and red guy?
Yeah.
Where's Wally?
Fuck.
There he is next to the carousel.
Well, it's really cool because we do get like the two separate storylines going on. We see half the team going up against the new gods. Rest in peace. I'm sorry
you're,
for them.
You're all going to die.
But then the other team is like, yes, we're going to Markovia. And it's like, oh, shit.
Oh, Terra.
Actual outsiders. Because it's like...
fucking Terra.
Yeah. We get Terra for one scene. And it's like her brother, Geoforce, the lesser known Markovian, is like,
it's like you're,
we need to look for my sister. I'm like, I don't think people know who you are.
See, it's like, he looks for my sister. Induce the metagene. Like, oh, wow, you're just forcing him.
Weenie, look for my sister. She's in bed with Deathstroke.
BT Dubs.
Sorry. She's.
Have you ever heard of the Judas contract?
Like, I'm really excited to see
all of it.
I don't
know. It kind of looks like they're going for a different approach with this
yeah.
Terra.
Well,
because
yeah.
she doesn't look like she hates
well,
life.
Well, they're straight up going with the Princess of Markovia.
Yeah, not the fuck everything.
She's always been the princess, but that's just later retcon.
Yeah.
Like, the original Terra. Not the animated one, was always a bitch who always planned on betraying the team. And then you get animated Terra. It's like, oh, you're so nice. And you join Slade for to help control your powers. And you see him as a father figure instead of you want to fuck him. Like,
and then Judas contract.
You went for dad, not daddy.
Like, what was it we were watching? The Judas contract movie?
Yeah.
Where Terra is like, trying.
Yeah, she's like in lingerie in a negligee, just draped
and
over Slade.
Even Deathstroke's the one like, no, I'm not fucking doing this.
Maybe later, but back off.
I'll come back in
You're
a few 18? Years.
It's, and God, it's just so great to see Young Justice back. And it's like, oh, Jesse McCartney, Nightwing,
say,
you're back.
Okay, shout out to all of the voice actors coming back. And motherfucking Jesse McCartney still is Nightwing. My boy Roxas.
We gotta find Roxas. He's inside me.
We have to find Ben. He's there too. What? Let me tell you a story of Kingdom Hearts.
Do you have half an hour? Let's sit down for half an hour.
Oh, honey, half an hour.
Oh, I didn't even notice we fucking jumped to streaming. Fuck. I didn't put a time code there.
Well,
I gotta find that. I gotta find that later.
Time code later. Oh, I thought you were just gonna write later.
Well, I put question marks there.
Yeah.
So yeah, Young Justice looks awesome. I think it sucks that this got delayed to 2019, but I think this should have been DC
this
Universe.
Is what you launched
this, this was the launch show.
This should have been the flagship.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because this is the thing.
This should have been your Santa Maria
for.
Put Titans as like the Nina.
I would say like the Pinta,
yeah.
To be honest. Actually, that ship's still in Europe. It's just there.
We'll wait on that one.
Do I need to get the soapbox back out? I'll dust it back off.
Like, Young Justice Outsiders should be like the conquistadors conquering the internet.
Oh, man.
Are you saying the Titans like Titans is Titanic?
No, they haven't failed yet.
It's
They're
sailing
not sinking.
Out, but...
But that looks great. Disney has also started talking about launching their streaming service, and the first show that has been confirmed
this
that
tiny,
is new
tiny little show
is a really one. Small show
and no one's ever
called
heard of it.
Star
it.
Wars The Clone Wars. I can't even say it wrong. Like, it's just
Star
like
Wars?
I'm so excited.
Star Wars, the Clone
like
Wars.
Oh my god, I'm so excited for this.
Hashtag
because
saved.
They're finally yeah I was on Twitter and Dave Filoni's like hashtag Clone Wars saved, and it's a picture of the stormtrooper helmet painted like Ahsoka, and I'm like, wait, you bastard, don't tell me. And then their trailer's there, and I'm just like, well, I'm done for the day. I'm going to go lie down.
So I think I was cooking something, and I looked over to you at the table, and just the look of glee on your face as it was just playing the trailer. And then it plays more, and you're like, oh, are they doing the Mandalore arc? I'm like, oh, he's excited.
Yeah, it's like as soon as they show Anakin walking with Rex, and it's like, oh, that person's in Mandalorian armor. Oh, that's neat. Oh, hologram. They're bringing other people in. I wonder if it's Mace Windu or Yoda. It's Ahsoka. They're doing the Siege of Mandalore, Darth Maul, and everything else.
So they're finishing the series.
Just like, it kind of breaks me, though, because it's like Anakin and Obi-Wan are both in their Revenge of the Sith outfits. I'm just like, oh no.
This is the end.
There's a time skip. It's like 2 years after where season six ends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Because from when five's...
What do they finish the series on?
This.
No. Like, what was the last episode?
The chip. That whole arc.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But they also took some of the episodes that were in the production pipeline but unfinished. So we're... hopefully we're going to get the Bad Batch. Like, the deformed clone troopers.
Oh, God.
Like, they're called the Bad Batch. Like, that's their moniker like they take from themselves. Kind of. But it's like... Oh, this one's 7 feet tall and, like, 5 feet wide because he's just jacked beyond hell. And it's like, oh. And it's just, like, I was so giddy. And just even seeing Ahsoka. And I'm like, they aged everyone up. The animation's way more fluid. It's like a mix between the Clone Wars palette and Rebels. It looks like they invested money in the show because it doesn't seem as barren as Rebels kind of was to begin with. And I'm just... So, like, Filoni, you bastard.
How long has it been since the Clone Wars ended?
Too long. But will they show what happened to Cody?
We never got that answer in Rebels either.
So maybe this is their chance to answer.
Clone Wars ended in 2014.
Filoni, damn. What happened to Cody?
But if this is the Done and Done series, where we're getting... 12 episodes, which is confirmed, and they do end on the Siege of Mandalore. We're not going to see what happened to Cody because Order 66 happens during the middle of that siege. Mm. And luckily, because Ahsoka is such a bad... It's not even Ahsoka, but like Rex and his company all removed their chip during that time between the two seasons.
Yeah, okay.
According to the book.
It's like they learn about what happened to Fives and...
Yeah, they fake their deaths.
Mm.
Like, they went out... I think in the book, they explained it like they set up so that Ahsoka and Rex look like they fought and both died, and they left behind Ahsoka's lightsabers and Rex's helmet. And I'm just like, I'm so excited, but I'm just not ready for 2019 to come because it's just like, this is Clone Wars was so good.
The year of the hypening.
Yeah. Steve sat down with me. We were in the middle of season 3 of Clone Wars during the Mortis arc. I'm like, right. I don't know if this is a good start for
Just
you.
Just so you know, I'm on a timetable now.
Uh-oh.
I have like maybe 30 minutes.
Okay.
All right, rapid fire.
Yeah, this is the rapid fire section.
We could save some of this for next week.
We go. We do.
All right. First thing announced during the Justice League panel, Scott Snyder and Jock are doing a Batman Who Laughs miniseries this coming fall, and they are going to introduce a new Dark Knight, one with a bunch of guns.
Like, so many guns.
He is
the best at gun.
Like what we expected future Jason Todd to be.
But instead we got weird alternate dimension Dick Grayson.
Weird card salesman.
Yeah.
Jason Todd.
Who still went to jail. So yeah.
The Bat Punisher, if you will.
Old universe Batman Who Laughs will have another Dark Knight with him. A gun-laden Batman who picked up Joe Chill's gun and shot him after Chill murdered his parents.
Damn.
Hashtag brutal. So it is Punisher Batman. God damn it, this ad. In addition to that, during the Justice League panel, Scott also announced that his next Justice League arc is called The Drowned Earth.
I wonder who that's going to be mainly about.
Cyborg. It's drowned in technology. So much porn.
I'm telling you, John Stewart, Green Lantern.
Well... He's not a Green Lantern anymore, maybe. Who knows? His ring kind of shattered in the last issue.
Ultraviolet Lantern.
Yeah. So, Drowned Earth is going to set up an Aquaman story. All of it is going to be done by Francis Manpaul.
Nice.
He was doing some art, teasing.
Are we just going to cycle through all of the old Justice League artists again? Yeah, like, hopefully. With the Jeff Johns?
Well, Francis Manpaul never did Justice League.
Did he not?
No, he did something. No Justice with Snyder.
Oh, okay.
Well, are we just gonna take the trend of the New 52 Justice League and turn that into arcs? Because
second arc
of New 52
was Throne of Atlantis.
That was the third arc. Was the third?
Yeah, it was just
the second arc was like this
Origins War.
No, it was Origins and War. War's the adaptation of Origins. It was the second arc was they find this kind of ghost man whose family died.
Right, Villain's Journey.
No, Villain's Journey was 5.
Was it?
It was after Forever Evil.
No, I thought it was before Forever Evil. Whatever.
Anyway.
Not important.
Speaking of Aquaman.
So Snyder's Aquaman is going to set up the events of Kelly Sue DeConnick's Aquaman featuring Arthur Curry and him interacting with sea gods. It's the, kind of...
The way I saw it explained was it's kind of like the year one of Batman, but that's what this Aquaman story is going to be.
Yeah, so Arthur
allegedly
loses his memories. He goes amnesiac for a bit and has to interact with all these different sea gods. So it's also really killer that we have Kelly Sue coming over, another big
Martian articles starting to look right.
I can only hope, and it won't happen, because who in God's green earth would do this? One of the sea gods is Broseidon, king of the Brocean.
Kelly Sue, don't fail us.
God. Sorry, I just totally lost my train of thought now. So we have that happening. Kelly Sue's taking over Aquaman. We also get the first look. We literally just get like the cover page.
Cover of it.
But it's Batman, 3 Jokers, and what we see is Joker from his original appearance, the Killing Joke Joker, and I forgot what the third one was.
I think under the Red Hood Joker, because he's got the bloody crowbar.
That was the Killing Joke, or not the Killing Joke Joker. That's Death of the Fam. Death in the family.
Yeah.
Wrong preposition. Yeah.
Family,
so we get
death.
Yes. So it's kind of cool that they're taking like the different ages of Jokers and blending them, but it's like, where's Scott Snyder's Joker?
Well, and Scott Snyder even said like this isn't going to be a like trans-dimensional blow your mind. It's going to be a more grounded story about Batman kind of having the realization of, I've been fighting 3 different Jokers this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He said one of his favorite scenes, like, that shows these Jokers are different, but all very similar, is one of the Jokers pulls up to a cabin, knocks on the door. Another Joker answers in the Killing Joke Hawaiian shirt. And he's like, hey, that's mine. Right. He's like, he said that's one of his favorite scenes to write. It's like,
The Jokers conversing with each other.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting story.
That sounds like a wild fucking ride.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a little bit of a mindfuck.
It kind of reminds me of, like, the Tom King Joker, where he's just very retrospective on everything.
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
It's going to be, I think, if not the first, Black Label.
Yeah, it's part of the Black Label, but it's going to be in continuity with the rest of the DC Universe, which is
pretty neat.
Unlike everything else with Black Label. And apparently Black Label is only marketed to, like, the top talent people at DC now. So that's why we have Kelly Sue on Wonder Woman. We have Azzarello going back to writing a Batman-Constantine team-up. Snyder doing his Last Night. God,
2 of my favorite writers are both doing Wonder Woman. That's insane.
Wonder Woman! Yeah, super exciting. In addition to Wonder Woman... Is that the next bullet point? Yes. There is, this fall, we have a Wonder Woman Justice League Dark crossover called The Witching Hour by James Tynan. He's the only writer. And this is taking place prior to G. Willow's run. So, writer James Tynan and all-star lineup of artists take over October just in time for Halloween with this five-part weekly series. This is the first event in the new Justice family of titles, which consists of Justice League, Dark, Odyssey, Titans, and Teen Titans, featuring 2 48-page one-shots playing out in the pages of Wonder Woman and Justice League Dark, with all issues written by Tynan. Witching Hour is... I'm looking for the description... Witching Hour sets the tone for the series. Hecate, the witch goddess of magic, always knew a day would come when the monsters she stole her magic from would return. Now she must activate the witch-marked humans within whom she secreted vast stores of power. This hits Justice League Dark especially hard. One of the most powerful of the witch-marked turns out to be Wonder Woman.
I was hoping you were going to say Detective Chip.
Nah, dude, he's like
a multi-dimensional god now. The easy one was going to be Zatanna.
Yeah. So Wonder Woman's gonna go up against Hecate, her first appearance outside since the old continuity, and it kind of explores Wonder Woman being magical for lack of a better term, just because her entire premise was, they're kind of bringing her back into the fold. It's not just gods giving her powers, but she in and of herself has magic. And the final part of the story is just the Justice League Dark Team and Zatanna battling for Wonder Woman's soul and their lives.
You know that too.
Yeah. Ooh, this is exciting. There's going to be foil covers.
Ooh.
Yasmin Putri is going to be doing the foil cover. I want that one.
Putri.
Yeah.
Good job, Steve.
Putri? I don't know. Following this, Steve Orlando has two new titles coming out. Dead Kings is the one Zach was wondering about, which was the mech.
Oh, fuck yes.
So Steve Orlando's new Aftershock series with Matthew Dow Smith is a post-apocalypse. It's the event so after the apocalypse has ended.
Up, and then everything else blew up.
Yeah, it's going to launch in October. Dead Kings mixes science, sorcery, and global war with what the publisher calls an in-depth exploration of retribution in all its dark, complex forms. Orlando goes on to explain, in Dead Kings, there is no mystery to magic. It's simply assets and technology like any other form of dangerous technology. We've abused it to create a massive diesel punk war machines that nearly destroyed the world. But the world's crawling back. In Thrice Nine Kingdom, that used to be the Slavic Empire, anarchy rules.
Ah, that's the bear mech.
Yeah. Oprichniki secret police.
I could probably read that.
Yeah. The secret police without a captain run the loose nation as a police state, the wild, wild east, rounding up anyone who disagrees with them or lives against their standards. The world's burnt and born again. But the human drive remains. Orlando goes on to explain that this series is Russian folklore to the tune of Blade Runner 2049.
Say no fucking more.
That's a fucking mech is worth fighting a giant bear mech.
What Steve Orlando, I am going to write you a check.
That's a fucking Megazord with the power sword.
So this God is one of the things he was telling me about at DCC. He's I have this crazy story at Aftershock that's very much like a noir, but it's just off the wall. And I'm like, I literally buy everything you write. Don't worry.
I mean, I'm going to have to tell John to put this on my list because, again, it's a fucking Megazord or a Gundam with a laser sword fighting a mechanized bear.
Yeah, and it comes out in October.
Oh, yes.
Orlando's also going to be writing a new DC miniseries called Electric Warriors, which takes place in Jack Kirby's post-Earth. It takes place during the Great Disaster, a backdrop for diplomacy, violence, and mystery. The six-issue miniseries is written by Steve Orlando with art by Travel Foreman. Woo. So I'm just like, I'm sold. Like, I buy everything Orlando writes, but Travel Foreman doing art, I'm just like, this is going to be weird. In 2735, the Earth emerges from the Great Disaster to rejoin the galaxy, finding a universe tethering on the brink of a galactic war. To forestall Armageddon, interplanetary conflicts are settled through trial by combat with diplomatic gladiators known as Electric Warriors. Against the bloody battlefield of the dead Sector 666, these lone warriors sacrifice their lives to ensure their worlds may live in an always fragile peace.
Sounds like two Steve Orlando titles are going to make our way to my list.
Let me sweeten the deal.
Oh, it gets
like
better.
Overwatch or Battle Royale, Electric Warriors will feature a team of unique, memorable leads representing a wide spectrum of readers in the setting rife of disasters and adventure. This is the unexplored future of Jack Kirby's DC Universe, arising from the Great Disaster of Kamandi. If the Legion of Superheroes is the universe's Age of Enlightenment, the setting of Electric Warriors is more akin to the Dark Ages.
Oh my
sounds
god.
Sounds fucking amazing.
That sounds bonkers.
Redonkulous, if you will.
Recoculous.
Zach also freaked out about this series. G. Will Wilson and Christian Ward team up on a creator-owned quest in the Invisible Kingdom with Karen Berger. This was announced ahead of SDCC, but G. Will says, it's a delight to be working with my mentor, Karen Berger, once again, especially on this exciting project. Christian Ward's art is truly visionary. This is one of the most dynamic collaborations I've ever been involved with, and I can't wait to show the world what we're into. Set in a small solar system in a far-flung galaxy, the Invisible Kingdom tells the tale of two women, one young religious acolyte and the other a hard-bitten freighter pilot, who separately uncovered an unholy conspiracy between the leader of the renunication, the system's dominant religion, and Lux, the all-consuming megacorporation that controls society. On the run from dangerous reprisals on both sides, this unlikely pair of rebels risks plunging the world into total anarchy, and they reveal the truth. But when your beliefs betray you, what choice is left?
Woo-wee!
Yeah, G Willow went onto Twitter and said this is her Dune meets Bebop.
Oh my god.
And I'm just like,
everything I've always wanted.
Yeah. Jeff Johns.
And fucking Christian Ward is the perfect artist for that. Like,
he does space really well.
He does space so fucking well. Like, he makes it look like, yeah, this is kind of trippy, but this is like, if you're traveling through space, you're going to see some weird ass shit.
It's like how the first page of Odyssey is like a 10-page foldout.
Yeah, of the universe. It's just like, God, yes.
Yeah.
When is that out? I need it now.
I forgot.
I don't even know.
Look. New Shazam title. It's going to be a monthly. Releasing in November under The Killing Zone. Jeff Johns' brand new imprint for all the B-list heroes. So I'm going to be ordering every book on that list.
Does Jeff Johns have time to sleep anytime soon?
Well now that he looked at Jeff Lemire.
Now that he's not doing like all the movies anymore.
Yeah, he just wants to sit down and write.
And write, and write, and write, and write. Maybe sleep, and write.
Yeah, it's, again, Jeff Lemire, he's like, yeah, I write for like 16 hours a day.
Animal.
Yeah, Descender's over, but here's Ascender. What's the next one, Midsender? So Resender. Art is by Dale Eaglesham, who's a really great successor to Gary Frank in terms of art, just because Gary Frank did the original New 52 one. It's going to be great. I am super hyped for that.
Yeah, I've seen some of Dale's work, and he did Fantastic Four and a run on Captain America. His Fantastic Four stuff looks fantastic.
Really?
Yes.
That was a lot of fantastic.
He could have said spectacular, just use a different Marvel verb.
It looks amazing. All new, all different.
Yeah. The next big announcement, Grant Morrison has returned officially to DC, writing Green Lantern. Actually, sorry, the Green Lantern. Because it's just Hal one. Jordan.
Just one.
While the recent Green Lantern series has been dealing with universe-spanning wars and galactic threats, Morrison wants to refocus the series on Jordan's work as a space cop.
Space cop.
So we actually get like a procedural story. The basic concept is that Hal Jordan is like a space cop that patrols the sector of the universe where anything can happen. We've made it more like police procedural. There we go. That's the word I wanted. Instead of a big epic 12-part stories, we're focusing down on the everyday life of a space cop.
You mean
basically,
not gonna have
it's
Hal
no
Jordan
more
be...
apocalypse ending storylines.
They're not going to have Hal Jordan be essentially space the god of Green cop. Lanterns now.
Yeah. It makes me worry what happens to Guy and Kyle after this. We know Kyle gets admitted to the sanctuary and someone dies, so I'm really worried about Kyle right now.
You mean Guy?
No, Kyle.
I'm running out of time very slowly.
Okay.
So.
We're almost there. Also, we get four new Marvel titles. There's a Ghost Spider-Gwen that's coming out by a brand new creative team. I just can't remember. I don't have the article pulled up.
Two people we've never heard of.
Superior Octopus is coming out.
We talked about that last week, didn't we?
No.
Is that John's greatest fear? A superior octopus?
Christos Gage is going to be writing Doc Ock's story in San Francisco as he's working at Horizon University. Other new series, we got a brand new Jessica Jones series written by Kelly Thompson, who was handpicked by Brian Michael Bendis to take over the title. So I guess that's why she might have appeared in Hawkeye for those brief moments.
Like, hey, let's get a little tease of how I can write this character.
Yeah. And in addition to that, we also have a new Vision series, Chelsea Kane's return to Marvel. So an all new Vision series is coming from Marvel. This is announced at SDCC. The series is being written by Chelsea Kane and Mark Mohan with art by Odd Koch. Koch? I don't know. And
is it,
Marcus
wait,
Martin.
Is it K-O-C-H?
Yes.
Koch.
Koch. Okay.
Koch or Koch. Yeah.
I can't find the article I sent you. I think I saw the
depends
picture.
Depends on how account. German you want to get with it.
Well, you know. Screenshots. No, that's not Supergirl. That's not Power Rangers. That's Mark Hamill. Okay. When Vision decided to try to live a normal life, he built a wife, a son, and a daughter, a family, only to watch it all nearly crumble. Now all that's left is Viv, his learning to be rebellious daughter, and Sparky, the family robo-dog.
Sparky!
But what does it mean to be an artificial intelligence to rebel? And can a synthesoid father handle single parenthood? So yeah, that's the premise. So...
Shout out, though, to Champions, though, when they came to pick Viv up. Like, hey, take Sparky with you, and you just see him floating into the air into the ship. I'm like, I love this. Can Sparky be a permanent member of the Champions?
Thank God you didn't read Vision.
Yeah.
Thank goodness you did not read Vision.
But you should.
You should. But it's like,
also,
Sparky was the neighbor's dog who Vision killed, took his brain, put it into a robot dog, and then they ripped Sparky open to get a leaf to foresee the future.
Tom King, why?
You just answered your own question.
Yep. I look at my Viv and my Spark, and I'm like, oh, these are wholesome family visions. This is so nice. And like, oh, she's being a rebellious teenager. Neat. And then you tell me stories about Vision. I'm like,
Vision is not a happy story.
It's a great story.
It's very good, but not a happy one.
Yeah.
Because doesn't Victor die in Tom King's Vision?
Yes. Yeah. So he gets addicted to vibranium. That's why he freaks out in Runaways, is because the Doombot gave him a vibranium body, and that was giving him PTSD. He's like, take me off this. Take my head off this. And then he's, like, taking parts of their vibranium piano, doing drugs, basically, because that was the original thing for his Runaways. And then, God, what's the son's name? Vin. Vin comes in. It's like, hey, Victor, what are you doing? And then Victor freaks the fuck out, kills Vin, turns himself into, I almost said Justice League, the Avengers, is in prison. And then Mama Vision strolls along. I almost called her Martha. And she's like, you killed my son. And he's like, yes, I know. Brutally murders Victor. Like, just fist straight through the heart, rips his heart out of his body, like Scorpion style, and then Vision has to kill his wife. And that's the happy story of the Vision.
Jesus Christ.
Meanwhile, Viv's trying to learn what emotion is.
Yeah, she has a crush on a boy, but the boy's father hates robots, so he shoots her, and the bullet bounces off Viv and kills the son.
What the fuck, Tom King?
And Vin,
it's not a happy story.
And all Vin wanted to do was learn to love Shakespeare.
Jesus Christ.
It's such a good story. You should read it, even though I glossed over it. There's a lot of buildup.
Jesus Christ.
Wholesome, white picket family, save the world 38 times.
There's also a scene, because I gleaned this from Champions, where Reaper?
Oh yeah,
goes Reaper through the wall up. And like impales Viv.
Yeah,
because that was like in her like circle of memories, like Viv was having, was her getting impaled.
Yep, and then Mama Vision takes a cooking pan, beats him to death, buries him in the backyard.
Jesus Christ, Tom King.
Oh yeah, and then the father. Do we just keep saying the rest of it? The father's the one who sees the mother.
Yeah, all of the dots bury the connect. Body.
God damn.
Trying to blackmail. Not Martha.
God damn.
I have all the series in my room if you ever want to read it.
Maybe just one let me day.
Know. All right.
Maybe one day.
Thank you guys for listening to a brand new episode of the ZT Podcast.
This week, so we're good.
If you want us to talk about something more in depth, or you disagree with something, we would be happy to talk to you. You can always hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, and
ZTPodcast.com/comment.
And you can always leave us a good review. Make us very happy, boys. You can hit us up on iTunes, Google Play, Google Podcast Services, or other podcasting services Spotify. Around the world. Like
Spotify, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher.
Everywhere.
Lots of things.
And thank you guys for listening. Love you, Internet. Bye.
So many things.